Despite the fact that her reputation rests upon some theater reviews, poems, and lunchtime one-liners, Dorothy Parker is one of the most popular literary figures of the 20th century. The Viking portable edition of her work has never gone out of print since it was first published in 1944. Critic Maureen Corrigan has some thoughts about Parker's enduring appeal, as well as some qualms about the new movie version of her life, Mrs. Parker and the Vicious Circle.
Apart from Jennifer Jason Leigh's distracting voice, I thought I liked Mrs. Parker and the Vicious Circle when I saw it before Christmas. If you've seen the movie or read the reviews, you know about the voice. Leigh, who plays Dorothy Parker, tried to imitate Parker's distinctive speech pattern, which contemporaries described as a cultured New York drawl. Like most acquired accents, Parker's was meant to hide something. In her case, the fact that she was born Dorothy Rothschild to a middle-class Jewish family. Now, I've never heard a recording of Parker, but I know that New York drawl. George Plimpton's got it. To my ears, Leigh's Parker sounds more like Marlon Brando. She mumbles a lot, which is a problem in a movie about a woman for whom witty conversation was like oxygen. As I said, I initially thought I liked the movie, but for weeks it's been doing a slow burn in my gut, like raw gin on an empty stomach, and at first I couldn't figure out why. After all, almost everything nasty the movie tells us about Parker is well known. The rest is confirmed by Marion Mead's authoritative 1988 biography entitled Dorothy Parker, What Fresh Hell Is This? There's Parker's legendary witchiness, her decades-long drinking problem, her miserable love life and marriages, her suicide attempts, her failure to meet deadlines, and her phobic aversion to housework, such that she often ate raw bacon rather than cook. The woman was a mess. But that's not all she was, and this is why the movie, which adopts such a relentlessly grim take on her life, is giving me a hangover. Dorothy Parker, for all her gargantuan flaws, is a rare type in the pantheon of famous women authors. Parker was a party animal, a clever woman who could hold her own in a crowd of smarty-pants men. She ruled the round table, and her voice, however it sounded, carried. When, for instance, Parker was challenged to use the word horticulture in a sentence, she instantly whipped back. You can lead a horticulture, but you can't make her think. The crowd roared. For a time, Parker's was a frat house fantasy version of the literary life, all play and little work. The round tablers ate together, slept together, and even went on group vacations. Now, consider the lives of other witty women writers. Jane Austen puttered around the family parlor while Stevie Smith and Barbara Pym were exiles in the English suburbs. Other women writers were even more isolated. There's Dickinson entombed in her bedroom, the Brontes banished to the moors. Sure, George Eliot and Virginia Woolf had their cliques, but somehow I can't imagine those two ever telling an off-color joke. For generations of girls aspiring to be writers, Dorothy Parker has provided reassurance that picking up the pen isn't tantamount to entering the cloister. Mrs. Parker and the Vicious Circle dolefully reminds us that Dorothy Parker paid for her good times, but it doesn't show us any. It's the backlash version of Parker's life, offering the old warning that girls who just want to have fun will end up without lovers, children, or self-respect. But as always, Parker beat her critics to the punch. She knew the wild nights would inevitably dwindle. Maybe that's why she played so hard. As Parker observed in her poem, Thought for a Sunshiny Morning, it cost me never a stab or squirm to tread by chance upon a worm. Aha, my dear, I say, your clan will pay me back one day.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University.